Hey, Verano.
Hey, question for you. How did our attempt to connect with the listener from last episode work out?
Not well. I haven't heard from them yet. Have you?
Well, I got something on Instagram, but when I clicked the message, it just turned out to be one of those sex bots. Message was just full of links to porn laced with Trojan viruses.
Hey, I got that message too. But now my phone doesn't work right.
You truly live up to your nickname now, don't you?
Anyways, welcome to Verano and Senseless present DPIY. I'm Senseless Apprentice, and as you may have heard, I'm currently in the market for a new phone. If anyone out there is feeling generous, with me, host Mr. Verano.
Hello, hello. And yes, please do try to help us out to get Senseless a phone. I can't believe you clicked on that dang link. Seriously, Senseless. Gosh.
It's what I do. You've been watching anything new these past few weeks?
I only watched the one episode of Loki. I have not watched the others as I wanted to kind of like binge through it. A couple of friends of mine were like, I'm lost, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, oh, come on. It's gonna be a mixed kind of like tons of shit going on kind of story. Like just go with it and eventually.
The only thing that really has anything else is just details and fan service. A lot of the only thing that's narratively happened, and it's like this with a lot of these MCU shows, is they're only changing one or two things in the status quo to set up what's coming up next. So like what Loki did was we're all sitting there going, "Oh, we know that Wanda is gonna show up in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So she probably is fixing her mistake for creating this. We haven't seen this multiverse yet. What did she do to need to be able to fix her mistake? Because she's a reality alterer, and like her show basically established, she's not at that power level yet, and set up some of the magic that she's trained to use. But like, Falcon and Winter Soldier set their status quo. Bucky is now able to focus on sort of being a hero because he's made his amends, and Sam is the new Cap, and good for him. But then and in this one so far, the main thing that they've established outside of we still get Loki even though he died in Infinity War, we still get, it's also not the Loki that we knew from Infinity War. Like he was taken before and before his whole redemptive arc, and so this is the Loki who is more willing to cut out a guy's eye just to, get past a lock, less the Loki who actually gave a shit about Asgard. So, that's one thing that it's supposed to establish is that we're looking at a totally unique and new Loki. That's why he's the variant. He's not the Loki that we watched before. But also like then without explaining too much, they fucking create the multiverse. So far.
Yeah, no, like I said, I've been meaning to watch it, but I mean, what I've been happy to see at the moment was the actual trailers for Black Widow, and I really do want to watch it. I think it's interesting because I know it's kind of establishing her other cohorts and family members from Russia, so like their version of their Avengers and all or such. I just think it should be an interesting movie. I mean, that's it. I've been watching more. I've been keeping a Bad Batch on Disney Plus, and I know not everybody keeps up with it, but I think it's a good show.
Yeah, I've been watching the Bad Batch. I'm not getting my hopes up for Black Widow
I'm
though.
not either, but I'm intrigued as to who the actors are that they have to play certain characters. I don't think it'll be bad, but I'd like to see where they're going with it all.
I think part of it is it got fucked in timing with the pandemic, but I mean, I don't know. It feels kind of shoehorned, kind of like what Captain Marvel was, although, in terms of formulaic movies where they were kind of like, hey, we have a female power set too. you know, when Wonder Woman came out and Marvel was like, let's respond to that. That's what Captain Marvel really seemed to be. And, you know, I just feel like Black Widow has that kind of feel where it's just kind of stuffed in. I feel like now that I've seen more about the Eternals, like that's going to be what actually propels anything forward and explaining any universe building type stuff for what's going to come next. Now that they have to have a threat bigger than Thanos for on the horizon, you know, but
to see that trailer, I need to, but it, I mean, from what I'm hearing from you and everybody, the Eternals trailer seems to be good. Like they're pushing the story forward.
Well, it's just that it's their connection to Thanos.
Yeah.
What was Thanos? Why was Thanos the way he was? This is going to help bridge that gap. But then also whatever awakens the Eternals has to be worse than Thanos. You know, whatever awakens the next round has to be worse than what came before. So
yeah. So Howard the Duck movie coming back, that's got to be worse. I would think that really wakes up everybody.
I still have not seen Howard the Duck. I'm not
sure. I don't care to watch the original either. I just keep hearing how bad it was, but I mean, it just seems funny because people crap on it all the time.
But onto the bad. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it had to be good in a bad way that, you know, people were like, oh shit, Howard the Duck. I never even understood what Howard the Duck was all about. So
he's good in cameos. He was good.
Yeah, he's hysterical.
Like Guardians.
Yeah, he's just like there drinking like a, you know, like a drunk. I'm like, well, shit. Everyone's just like, what the hell's that?
But no, when it comes to the Bad Batch, there was a big spoiler revealed this week that has fascinating implications, and I don't want to ruin anything, but I want to talk about it so bad.
Well, as to the person listening to our show, I thank you very much. You may not be from Brazil this time. I'm hoping you're from, I don't know, somewhere nice, Vietnam, Russia.
They can be from anywhere as long as they're listening.
Yeah. Next episode, we will be talking about Bad Batch, as I will fully be watching the rest of it. I think I missed this week's episode, so I don't want to, but it was good. I like it. I like the dynamic that they're doing for that show. I think it's holding well. And to me, it's just, I don't know. There's more as they're trying to open it, and I like it. I really do.
It's also in its own way because, you know, they basically, Disney went at one point, you know, fuck all the stuff that came out before this point. That's all just, you know, stories. But the official canon starts here. And so, like, all these shows and stuff are going to help flesh out certain things. So I'm looking forward. Like already the Bad Batch has one big connection that is fascinating to an upcoming show, which implies we may see some live action Bad Batchers maybe.
Oh, please, I hope so.
And I'm pretty sure, like, because I recognize the voice, I'm pretty sure that do you know who Ming-Na Wen is?
I'm going to go with no.
Unless I recognize her if you saw her. She was Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
But she played a role in The Mandalorian, and I was watching the Bad. She played, and her voice was the voice for. I'm pretty sure it was the same character, but for.
Oh, that assassin girl.
Huh.
The assassin girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought I recognized her voice. Oh, she's so good. She's really talented.
Yeah. So.
Like I said, I like how the story's going. Like, I mean, Star Wars universe is so open. You can really go. With a lot of different random characters and just, you know.
Well, they just went out. They, like, after The Mandalorian was a breakaway success, they, like, there's The Bad Batch. There's whatever's coming out for Ahsoka. There's a droids thing coming out. There's an Obi-Wan thing coming out. And some of these are live. Oh, the Book of Boba Fett is coming out.
Yeah, I think I heard about that. Like I said, there's so many interesting characters from, like, the original movies that, yeah, you can so do a series or so do like a trilogy of movies just about them. So,
well, that's and I want to see like there's a lot like they still haven't fleshed out what happened. The only thing they've confirmed about the end of you know, spoiler for a huge thing, I won't actually tell you what happens, I'll just say that they haven't given us any indication of what happened to Ezra Bridger or the search for him or an Admiral Thrawn from Rebels, you know, or and like. all the, there's a story to be told about like Ahsoka and Sabine Wren and others like in their attempting to find out where these, you know, creatures took them. You know, and you know, they already teased some of it because at the end of Rebels, I'm pretty sure Sabine Wren had the Darksaber, and that's Mandalorian.
It should be good stuff, but let's try and keep moving forward. Otherwise, we'll probably be doing a whole episode just on us talking on stuff that we love to watch on Disney or any other platform.
All right, so today we're moving through Cable and Deadpool issue 20, Bosom Buddies Part 1, BAD to the bone. The BAD is there for a reason. There's a, but we'll get to that. It's written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Patrick Zercher, inked by Udon's Meth, colored by Gotham, lettered by Visual Calligraphy's Corey Petit or Pettit. I don't know how he pronounces it. With cover art drawn by Patrick Zercher, inked by Meth, and colored by Rob Schwager. Much like a lot of the rest of this issue, the recap page is basically a pinup pick of the guest stars, the Bad Girls, or BAD, and that is because this group is made up of Black Mamba, Asp, and Diamondback of the Serpent Society, breaking away to do sort of their own thing.
And so, according to them, they're mercs who prefer snatch jobs. There's an explanation of their powers. Diamondback's has none, but she was a professional thief whose connection to Captain America is meant to put her over here. And the other two are literally fractions of much better Marvel superheroes. Asp is one-third of the Wasp in the sense that she can shoot stinging blasts from her hands but cannot shrink or fly. While Black Mamba is one-third of Danielle Moonstar. She can use some ambiguous dark force to expose people's greatest fantasies, but not greatest fears, as she cannot tangibly manifest what she exposes.
So, like, literally each one of, like, one is basically, I'm a thief and I was trained by Captain America. Whoopee. And then the other two, one basically can shoot, you know, inconvenience from her hands. And the other one can manipulate some kind of whatever to expose whatever your greatest fantasy is. I mean, I guess she's just a shittier, I messed that up. She's pretty much just a shittier version of Lucifer from, you know, Lucifer, where he can go, what is your greatest desire? And people just can't help but tell him. That's kind of what Black Mamba does, but, you know, visually with Dark Force.
Yeah.
All that is to say that there isn't much actual recap on this supposed recap page. Out of 15 total dialogue bubbles there, the last three are all that are reserved for explaining what is actually happening to this point in Cable and Deadpool, which I guess makes sense. They've just ended a big, a bunch of big story arcs for that, and then it was thrown into a bunch of side issues and stuff and things that didn't really matter. And so, like, just to get back to some sort of semblance of status quo, there's not much to explain. They're basically doing, they're friends, but they're doing their own thing. The last three of the dialogue bubbles are the only three that explain what is happening. They tell us that Cable went back to Providence and he's there and that's it. And Deadpool is back where he was when this book started around 20 issues ago, on his couch, watching TV in his Quan apartment. And that is literally what it says on the sign, Quan, K-W-O-N, in big letters, apartments.
Wade is watching a number of, oddly, not as stale as they should be, pop culture references for a comic that came out 16 years ago, The Daily Show. A That 70s Show's rerun, Katie Couric on the morning news, or a generic Katie on a generic morning show's news show. PTI on ESPN, generic entertainment news, judging from time on Deadpool's digital clock.
7 o'clock hour.
Yeah. And Full House reruns, which some episodes are fun. Some episodes kind of want to shoot myself.
He's lost after Elizabeth Olsen's Sisters.
Of course he is. And the clock gives the reader the impression that all this is happening over the course of the last of at least 2 days, if not longer.
And it's really like it's really cool what they do here is they it's all a callback to the first issue. Like Deadpool is sitting on his couch doing these. He's cleaning his guns. He's eating. He's just kind of sitting there watching TV because he's got nothing to do. So, but everything mirrors. Like he's sitting there, no mask, and then the phone rings, and just like in the first issue, when the caller requests Deadpool, he assumes he's there as Wade because he's not wearing the Deadpool mask. So he has to go and get his mask from another room before taking the call, leaving the caller confused to ask like, "Hello, hello, I was told this was the phone number to call if I had a certain type of request." And the whole thing mirrors the opening of If Looks Could Kill, including when Deadpool finds out where it is. This time it's California instead of France. He refuses to go, except for last time it was on the grounds of our countries being at war and them being like, "No, we're not at war." This time it's on the grounds of a few outstanding warrants that I have. So. But it's all, you know, humorous and mirrors, and it's really well done. Until Deadpool, the one thing that gets different is Deadpool remembers to ask the specifics of this job because he has to make sure his new best buddy would approve. So when the caller tells him it's to steal something from the Dominus Corporation, he's like, "Oh, to steal, no killing? Cool, I'll take it." You know, and he takes on the job.
As Deadpool breaks into Dominus HQ, the BAD girls, bad girls, are watching on security monitor, having also broken into the building to steal the same mysterious object. Diamondback attacks Deadpool from behind, a duplicitous move that, by implication, she must have learned from Captain America.
That shady. And
she hits him pretty good. She hits him pretty good.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just funny. Aspen attacks him with her sting, but drawn in such a way that her gratuitous Power Girl cleavage window is on full display, which gives the impractically attired Black Mamba the opportunity to manifest her dark force to show everyone Deadpool's greatest desire. Seriously, the only member of the Bad Girls who is actually dressed for the job they are doing is Diamondback. Asp is drawn wearing a snake pattern designer dress suitable for a red carpet somewhere with slits up either side, high enough to show she is wearing thong panties from the fucking front.
It was nicely drawn, mind you, okay? Enjoyed the artwork. Great to the artist. I'll let you proceed.
I mean, but still, it's a dude drawing this woman this way. Like, it's
oh, yeah, totally.
Who it is. Totally. Black Mamba is wearing green elbow-length gloves and thigh-high boots around what looks like a zip-up one-piece bathing suit with green trim that opens up at her fucking diaphragm. Like, it's got to be so low that it's below her breasts in her diaphragm where it actually opens up, and it's because she zipped it that way. And it's clearly meant to tease the reader with the possibility that those breasts, that cleavage might pop out in the course of this issue, save for the magic of the spirit tape that she's got to be wearing. Meanwhile,
13-year-old kid, I would have thought that they could happen on the comic. I really did.
Meanwhile, Diamondback is dressed like a hot pink Catwoman, herself a master thief in DC Comics, which is why I'm going, she's the only one wearing something like appropriate for the snatch and grab job that they're supposed to be doing. The only difference between her and Catwoman really is the hot pink and the diamond accents where the cat shit should be.
Deadpool's greatest desire apparently is to be on a beach somewhere, rubbing some suntan lotion on Cable's back. To make this issue a little equitable, relative to senseless tirade against bad girls attire, both men are wearing mankinis, which I'm sure in some boys now would enjoy to see that. The Dark Horse fantasy transitions.
It's one panel compared to the whole issue.
I know. You really get cheated. The Dark Force fantasy transitions to relative reality as Cable is at the moment getting a massage on Providence, although to demonstrate the difference, his mankinis has become boxer briefs.
So Cable and Irene Merriweather, the only woman besides Diamondback to be wearing a shirt whose neckline doesn't dip below her breasts. I mean, for fuck's sake, even the masseuse's V-neck t-shirt is cut as low as, which one was it? Black Mamba's bathing suit. Like, literally, she's wearing a V-neck. I've never seen V-necks do this, but a V-neck that dips below her breasts for some reason. But Irene, anyway, is wearing a t-shirt ability to be so tight that is actually sucked down into her cleavage in a way that makes me think that what really happened was the colorist got tired of this ridiculously gratuitous shit and simply colored in a shirt when Irene was really only supposed to be wearing a suit jacket for a top.
You done ranting there?
Shit. Sorry, it's just a little bit obvious that this issue was made for pre-modern internet porn nerd masturbation fantasies. Anyway, Cable and Irene, massive influx of immigrants showing up on Providence.
Irene points out that Cable's constant invitations and their effectiveness will be seen as a threat to the world governments, who had proven willing to personally nuke Cable back in the burnt offering. She thinks that they may just lose patience with him again. Only this time, he isn't burning out with telepathic and telekinetic powers.
So Cable replies with a familiar sort of techno-organic glint in his eye, where it's that he's got that grin on his face, but that glow in his eye from his techno-organic virus side. And he says that by the time they do lose patience with him, they will be too late to learn that he had already lost his patience with them. We then transition to the bad girls giving Deadpool quizzical looks that lead to him constantly trying to prove his heterosexual virility for the remainder of their part in the issue. He basically spends the entire time trying to convince them that, in spite of seeing him hoping to rub suntan oil all over Cable, which makes sense. He's a noted pansexual, but he's trying to prove his virility for the remainder of the issue by trying to constantly get them to see him as all man, baby. They simply push past him to break into the vault, only to find that the hard drive they had been hired to steal is already gone.
Dominus is so secure that they have hired an outside techie to clean the drive because they don't trust their own employees with the job. That's kind of like, you get what you paid for. So they learned. While Mamba, Asp, and Diamondback are discussing this, Deadpool finally cuts himself out of the harness he has been hanging in since the beginning of the issue and drops his pants in some sort of misguided attempt to initiate a four-way sex act. But the bad girls walk away laughing because underneath his pants, he is wearing a Marvel Girls panties from his X-Men team up in the Burnt Offering. I'm surprising that he could forget that,
I love that callback where they're like, is he wearing women's panties? They're like gold women's panties. And it's like, oh my God, that was a prominent thing when he jumped down the stairs on that splash page in the Burnt Offering. Like,
yes.
That was such a I might be pissed off at the gratuitousness of some of the drawing, but that was a really good callback. The girls go to security and fight apparently all the guards in the building in the process, with the intention of downloading the Dominus phone records in order to match all of the numbers they find against known freelance cleaners' phone numbers. Meanwhile, Deadpool works smarter rather than harder and beats up a single accountant to find out that the guy that the accountant had just paid needed to go to the airport in order to get to a job in Long Island, New York.
Meanwhile, Cable is skeet shooting with his head of security, Johan Creek. Johan complains about how much harder this job is a result of the immigration to Providence, but Cable is unconcerned. He replies that maximizing population is all part of his insidious plan to rule the world. When Johan complains that he can't tell if Cable is joking, the political leader of Providence turns away with a sly smile and tells his head of security to prep a jet for takeoff.
And I was surprised when I was, you realize that we have not been told what kind of leader of Providence Cable is. Like, is he a king? Is he like, what government? Like, we don't know anything about the Constitution. We just know that, hey, Cable cobbled this island together from pieces of his old space station, and he's pledged to give poor people a better life. But okay, so this guy's helping poor people. What is his political philosophy? Because from right now, all I see is, like, Cable is the government there. He's got a head of security and
a woman. I think he's Caesar.
Exactly.
We should see eventually a group of other mutants meet up together and stab him in the back.
Well, but like,
in the front.
For all we know, Cable's setting up a communist dictatorship with himself at the top. Like, we're looking at this.
But that's in his head. He's not talking to people. He's thinking he's probably talking to people, but he's just talking to himself the whole time.
But what I mean is, like, we're being told this from his perspective. What if the world leaders who tried to nuke him were simply doing it because they were like, oh my gosh, here's the next Kim Jong-un?
Possibly.
You know? Like, I'm a little uncomfortable with the government he set up without knowing its constitution, I'm finding. But anyway, before we find out where Cable plans to fly, we are ourselves transported to the Rand Meacham Corporation. I'm not even going to tell you what that is leading to. I'm just going to say Easter egg right there. In Long Island, where Deadpool is breaking in and an upcoming cameo, not the Easter egg from before, from earlier in my sentence, is foreshadowed, because as Deadpool enters the building, we see he is being followed by a shadowy figure.
Are you telling me that is the Easter Bunny? Is that what you meant by Easter eggs? It's just the Easter Bunny keeps laying his eggs, trying to sneak up on him.
No, it can't be the Easter Bunny, because I was saying that someone that has been seen in this comic before, I can't remember if I shit-talked him or not.
Oh, then it's got to be Cyclops. Oh, wait, no, I shit-talk Cyclops. Wrong guy.
Nah, it's Wolverine. Wolverine sneaking in behind Deadpool.
No.
It's clearly
Wolverine would try to just hack him. He wouldn't try and sneak him.
It's Beast.
Oh, that would make a lot more sense to me, kind of. All right.
I'm just trying to misdirect, because I know that people are going to be disappointed either way when it happens, because it's a small one, but a lot of small people are going to come back.
Gotcha. Inside the building, he finds his buddy, Weasel, who is bound and gagged on the floor, and probably would give Deadpool some odd thoughts as to what he could do to Weasel. He is a freelance scrubber that had been hired by Dominus Corporation to clean the hard drive that Deadpool had been hired to steal. Deadpool cuts him loose, and we get to see that the shadowed figure is listening as they describe Dominus' objective for the first time.
So it is a secondary hard drive that acts like a virus, that acts like a server, which is fucking Greek to me. But the thing is, it will eventually at least narratively make sense in a way that is too early to reveal at this point. But just saying that this is, you know, remember, this is Deadpool's part of the story, but it's Cable and Deadpool. And this has to do with, like, some of Cable's machinations at play here. Weasel claims he didn't steal this Dominus objective, but that he put it right back where he found it after completing the cleaning he was hired to do.
That's what any Weasel would say.
But the final splash page of the issue shows a larger-than-life Luke Cage and Iron Fist telling Deadpool that his friend is lying to him. They know he stole the Dominus objective because he has infected the Rand Meacham computers with it.
That damn Weasel. I knew it. Once a weasel, always a weasel. What they plan to do about it will have to wait until next time. However, because this issue is now over, because the issue is now actually over, so let's first compare some notes.
So what was your favorite part of the issue?
My favorite part to this, I gotta say, I was reading this, and right off the bat, I'm like, I'm a 13-year-old boy in my brain. It's a straight-up art of the Bad Girls, because I was like, yeah, it's over the top. It's kind of stupid. No, I actually joked towards it. It was actually hysterical to see that they were all surprised that Deadpool wasn't thinking at all about the three girls. It was he wants to just rub lotion on Cable. It's just hysterical. He's in his own swimming trunks, but keeps a mask on. It's like, of course yep. You would. What about for you?
I really enjoyed the plentiful callbacks to If Looks Could Kill and The Burnt Offering. Like, everything was pushing you back to remember the recap page didn't do much of a recap, but they kept going back and sort of connecting you to the most important points of those stories and how they relate to today. So I and some of it was just self-referential in a silly way. And I love all that self-referential shit. Including the panties scene where it's just like, oh my God, so stupid. But yeah, he jumped down in a full Marvel Girl dress and we got to see right up his crotch. And now they're referring to him wearing those still. That was no pun intended or coincidence intended. Cause they are gold. They are gold panties, but that was just pure gold.
Favorite art to this.
So to that, I have to say, like, you took it to a kind of enjoying it way. I was just like, what the fuck, Patrick? there's a positive, tasteful way to include sexuality in comics, and this art was not it. The best thing that I can say is that at least the poor sexuality was inclusive for all a little bit, thanks to Deadpool's beach fantasy about Cable. But in general, I guess my favorite art was when the colorist got tired of all that shit and was like, I don't give a fuck if Irene Merriweather is supposed to be wearing just a suit jacket so that we can see her cleavage as well. Like, I'm going to draw a shirt on her and give her some fucking dignity.
I mean, she's her character is never one of, like, you know, being in a big situation that, like, death and heart while she is, but like she's the brains. Like, I don't know, that kind of to some people still translated of like she's smarter, she's also imposing to everybody. So yeah,
she's also kind of Cable's connection to his she's kind of like a at least in this comic narratively, she's kind of a tether to his humanity.
Yeah,
you know, she's always I hesitate to say conscience, like she's his fucking Jiminy Cricket or something, but she is you know, there is something more to their relationship than just simple definition.
Yeah. Mine is just the splash page of them. It's just funny. I looked at it and I was like, oh man, I'm thinking like a 13-year-old boy. Is like, cool, they're all hot. So there's I was at the same time thinking, I'm like, there's no way any of those clothes really would ever work. Like, something's gonna slip.
Yeah,
there's no way you can do a job in any of that. Which, as you hinted, as you said before, and I that's what I was thinking too. And I was still laughing. I'm like, still good art. They took the time to draw it nicely. I appreciate it. He put in like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to draw this all out. Nice.
This dude drawing just, you know, gratuitous, like, and that's the thing, is it's before the, like, sort of you know, free internet porn explosion. So it's kind of like clearly drawn to attract that special kind of dork.
Oh yeah, and it did. It most surely did. Issue MVP.
So for me, it's the guy hiding in the shadows the whole time. I've already read this entire storyline. I know that, like, once we get to done with Cable and Deadpool, what we get to jump into is the Danny Way, like, because this leads directly into the Danny Way run on the Deadpool solo comic, which is really So like I'm excited to get there, and so the thing is, like, I know who this guy is, and he's living up to his hype. He's doing what he's supposed to do as a character, and so I know who he is. I know who this thief is, who is kind of just able to follow what's going on. But our listener is going to have the next episode to discover his identity.
Yeah, I read ahead on it too, and that just hit me. I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly who this is too.
Yeah,
why do I not remember? No, but I do.
Because last time he came in, I was like, what the fuck is he there for? He's just be like, holy crap, you're a great thief. Knock him out.
Yeah. My issue MVP is the girls. It's the girls. They were awesome. But I mean, it's like, I don't know, their whole character is working as a group. Just, I thought it was kind of cool. It was just a nice, like, they are, you know, there's more brains to them than, like, you know, anybody would think.
I want to so, change.
You girls only know these little things. It's like, no, they're smart. They work as a trio. They make good money. They got brains behind all of them.
I want to change my MVP. My MVP is now Diamondback, because she's the only one out of the three who,
like, costume that doesn't look like it's going to fall off.
I'm going to prepare and visually look like I prepared for this job.
All right, and shittiest character.
For me, it's a tie. And I, you know, it's Patrick's fault. But it's Black Mamba and the Asp. They form a splinter group of Diamondback from their whole Serpent Society shtick for some side jobs stealing high-profile items. And then when Diamondback shows up and is like, hey, I'm ready to go, you know, actually steal some shit. They're like, oh, cool. We're going to dress like we want to attract some Johns. And of course, that's more due to Patrick than the character's actual choices. So I guess it's not really their fault. But fuck it. Like, you're going to steal some stuff. The last thing you need is for everything to be hanging out.
Yeah, I guess so. for me, shittiest characters, I'm laughing on it because it's not shitty, but like he comes out looking shitty and shallow or just odd, and then trying to recover is Deadpool.
Yeah,
he's funny for like his just then afterwards being like, I'm totally a man, I totally want to bone you. It's like, dude, you had a moment, just let it go. The girls don't even care about you, it's all right. You're overcompensating a lot like Cyclops is. Don't be Cyclops. Don't do it.
You just had to drag Cyclops into it, didn't you?
Yes, because Cyclops is the worst, and I will always keep crapping on him. I'll find a way, one way or the other.
All right, so anyway, now we get to our final segment, our
most glorious skit that you guys have been, sorry, you person have been waiting for so nicely for this episode. So on to it we go.
Made a mess of a simple oil change.
Oh, no, hold. We made a mess. You're the one who followed through with the oil change without the proper equipment.
Damn, you're starting to sound like the landlord when she saw the driveway.
Don't blame her.
This time, we're going to be cleaning used engine oil from a driveway-like surface. And this choice of topic is in no way connected to litigation regarding oil damage property.
Oh, I'm sure it's not. So did you actually get the right equipment for the job, though?
Damn right. I rented a pressure washer and got some soap.
What the fuck is that?
An electric pressure washer. Sure, gas has more power, but for the job we're doing, electric is fine. We don't need the horsepower of an electric. It's fine.
No, I'm not talking about that. What the hell are you doing with dish soap?
Read the label, jackass. It's tough on grease.
That's for food stains and dirty dishes, you dolt. The kind of cleaner we need is usually at either the auto parts store or the hardware store.
Well, I'm going to try to clean it anyways.
Just like last time.
What?
I said it will take time. But you shouldn't come back inside the house until that job is done.
Damn right.